Start here with the Mishnah on the top of Kof Aleph and Aleph. The Mishnah says, Amar lo, hevili min acholon, o min ha-dluskema is the girs that we have in our Gemaras, but in the Mishnayot, it's actually gluskema with a gimel. Either way, the Balabayit says to the Shaliach, over here Tosfot claims it's the Gizbar, saying to a Shaliach, bring me that item that is in the window, or bring me that item that is in the gluskema, which is either a chest of drawers or a sack, vehevilo. And that's what the Shliach did. Even if the Baal HaBayit says, I didn't mean that window, I meant another window. Or I didn't mean that chest of drawers, I meant another chest of drawers. Doesn't matter. He is Mo'el. The Baal HaBayit is Mo'el. This is continuing the Mishnayot from the beginning of the parak that there is a Shliach, the Dvar Aveir. There is a Shliach when it comes to Me'ilah. So over here, too, the agent is acting on the instructions of the Baal HaBayit, and therefore, the Baal HaBayit is Mo'el, because the Shliach carried out his instruction. What about the qualification that the Baal HaBayit says afterwards, that I didn't mean this, but I meant that? So that we have a principle that Dvarim Shvalev, Enam Dvarim, that what you have in your heart, which you did not articulate, do not have impact or bearing on the situation. Over here, after the fact, where he says, oh, I had intended this, but I didn't intend that, that's not meaningful, because he did not articulate it at the time that he gave the instructions. And therefore, the Baal HaBayit is ma'al, because the Shliach carried out the shlichut, the agency that he was given, based on what was articulated to him. If he told him to bring it from the window, and instead he brought it from the chest of drawers of the sack, or he said, bring it from the sack or chest of drawers, and he brings it from the window. The Shliach is the Mo'el here because he forfeited his agency. He wasn't acting on behalf of the Baal HaBayit because he didn't listen to the Baal HaBayit. Therefore, he is the one who is Mo'el over here. Shalach biyad cheresh shoteh v'katan. He sent the object in the hands of a cheresh shoteh v'katan to do something, to purchase something, to do something with his monies of Ekdesh. Im asu shlichutal. If they did what the Baal HaBayit had requested of them, Baal HaBayit ma'al. Then the Baal HaBayit is mo'el in this case. Lo asu shlichuto. On the other hand, if they did not accomplish the shichut, the agency that he entrusted to them, then chen vani ma'al. The storekeeper is ma'al. So as Rashi points out over here, you have acheres shoteh v'katan, which are not b'nei de'a. So the fact that they didn't carry out the instructions of the Baal HaBayit, they cannot be held culpable because they have no actions. They don't have da'at. They're not b'nei de'a. The Baal HaBayit is not the Mo'el over here because the agency of the Baal HaBayit was not carried out. So who's the first person who's going to come into contact with these monies of Ekdesh and is going to transfer them from Kodesh to Chol? That's the Chen Vani, that's the storekeeper. So the storekeeper is going to be the one who accidentally, Bishogeg, comes into the fact that he is Mo'el. Shalach v'yabikeach, on the other hand, if he asked a normal person to take it on his behalf, v'nizkar achlo idia itel Chen Vani. And Baal HaBayit remembers that it is Kodesh before the Shliach, before the agent reaches the storekeeper to purchase the object. And now he remembers that all of a sudden that that's a piece of Hekdesh. So Chen Vani Ma'al. Again, the Chen Vani is the one who is Mo'el. The Gemara will discuss why that is. But for right now, let's assume that the agent is Patur because he carried out the instructions of the Baal HaBayit fully. The Baal HaBayit is Patur because he did it b'mezid and not b'shugeg. Because he knew about it. He knew it was Kodesh. By the time it was getting spent, he knew it was Kodesh. Chen Vani is Ma'al because he's the first one to come into contact that accidentally uses or spends the money. So the Chen Vani is Ma'al because he Otsi, when he uses, when he spends that money, when he utilizes that money, he will be the one that is Mo'el. Ketzad, Yaseh. So what should the Baal HaBayit do in this situation where all of a sudden he remembers that it was Hekdesh? The Rambam, on the other hand, says that this is a question for the Chen Vani. The storekeeper, once he knows that this coin Hekdesh is among his coins, how does he rectify that situation? Rather than what Tosafot and the other Rishonim say, the Baal HaBayit is trying to rectify the situation before it becomes a problem for the Chen Vani. Hotel Pruta takes any other money in his house, or Kli, any object, V'omer Pruta shel Hekdesh b'chol makom shehu, that Pruta of Hekdesh, wherever it is, Mechulal al Zeh, is transferred, is redeemed on this object, because you can redeem Ekdesh with money or money equivalents. So as long as you have an object that has value to it, you can transfer the Kedusha from the Pruta onto that object, and that's how you protect against there being a problem in Mi'ilah once he remembers that the monies were monies of Ekdesh. So again, over here you have three parties. You have the Baal HaBayit of the Shliach, and you have the Chen Vani. Baal HaBayit, who remembers, is Patur because he's B'mezid. The shliach, at least in the Havamina now, is patur because he carried out the agency of the balabait. He did exactly what he asked him to do, so he won't be held culpable. The chenvani is the one who's in trouble now because he's eventually going to spend this coin, unknowingly, going to spend this coin, which is of hekdesh, and he'll cause there to be a case of mi'ilah. Where it says, Maika Mashvalan, where's our Mishnah teach us the fact that the balabait, after he tells him afterwards that it wasn't that window, but the other window I meant, but the Mishnah teaching us that dvarim shvalev inam dvarim, that when you articulate a certain amount of instructions, or when you articulate instructions, or any other type of contractual obligation, whatever you say is what matters. Anything you have in your heart is irrelevant because we're guided by what you say, not much what you think. How could you have the agency of a cheresh shutev katan apply or affect the balabayit? He's sending people who are not shlichim. Chereshot of a katan are no worse than a matan of zeitim, which is the part of the olive press, where they put the olives in baskets and then they press them together to begin the process of pressing the olives. The tanan, a zeitim, when it comes to olives, meimatay mekablim tuma. At what point do they start to be mekabel tuma? Mishi azio zeata matan. Once they start to emit the oil, the sweat of the ma'atan, velo ze'at ha-kupa, but not the sweat or the liquids that emerge while they're in the basket. So when they're in the fields and they're picking the olives, they place the olives in the basket. The olives that are in the basket, they start to drip oil. That oil for the balabait is something that he doesn't want. He's not interested in. Because what's going to happen to that oil? It's in a basket. It's going to drip through the basket and go onto the floor. So for him, anything that drips out now or comes out now is useless. So therefore, that liquid doesn't have a din in chiyitain and chiyutan. It's not something that he wants. On the other hand, once it reaches the matan, and they start to soften while they're in this enclosed basket area that are under a little bit of pressure, as they start to ripen and give off that liquid, at that point he does want the liquid to start to emerge, because any liquid that emerges then he will capture. So then it becomes a liquid that he wants. Since it's a liquid he wants, it will be makshir the kabel tuma. So that's what the Mishnah says, that the liquids that emerge while you're in the matan, they are makshir the kabel tuma, because the balabait is nechale. He wants them. But when it's in the kupa, that liquid that emerges then is not makshir, because the balabait does not want them. We have the principle of chitain v'chiyutan. When it comes to liquids that are makshir the kabel tuma, you don't have to have itain, that the balabait himself does it or creates the liquid. Even if the liquid happens by itself, is created by another object, as long as the balabait wants it and likes what happened, then that's enough to be makshir lekabel tuma. That's exactly the case here. You see from here that the press, or the matan, the beginning process of pressing, even though the baal bayit is not there any longer, shlichut is being done by an inanimate object. The press, or the weight, is causing the liquids to emerge. And nevertheless, we say that the baal bayit has in mind and he wants that. So too over here. The chereshot of a katan, they should be no worse than an inanimate object. An inanimate object can carry out your shlichut, and certainly they can carry out your shlichut. B'yochanan amar, koto shishaniyo, that's what we learned, not no, agabe kof, balicho, or agab pil balicho. He put his eruv tchumim onto a monkey, or he put it onto an elephant, and they took it out to where he wanted to establish his bayit for eruv tchumim. It works, there is eruv, you're successful. Alma ka'avda shlichute. That a monkey and an elephant can do the shlichut. They can be agents of the balabait because they're just following the instructions. So too over here, you don't need a bar dat to accomplish shlichut. As long as they do what you wanted, then they're considered to be an extension of you. And since they're an extension of you, their agency will reference back to you and you'll be chayav in that case. No worse than a case of matan, a kof, or a peel, all these animals or these objects which are able to accomplish your shlichut, even though they're either inanimate or they're animals, certainly a chereshot teva katan should be no worse than those situations. In the case of the eruv, you have to say, it can't be that the elephant just takes the eruv and that's it, it's done. Because it has to be placed down in a location where he has shvitah, where he wants to establish his house for that Shabbos or that Yom Tov. So therefore, Tosfos first suggests maybe there's a person on the other end, but when the elephant shows up, he takes it off the elephant and he places it down. Tosfos rejects that because then it's no longer the elephant doing it. Then you have a bar dat on the other end that's ensuring that it happens. So Tosfos says it's a case where you could stand up from when you send the elephant to the monkey, you could stand up on a high place and watch them. And you could see that they put it down in the place that you want. And when they put it down there, you say, Shvitati b'makom, that the meal is, the suda is. So you have to be able to somehow allow them to go, to do the shlichut, but in the end you need some sort of da'at there because you have to create shvitah. So Tosfot does that by saying that the animals go out and place it there. As long as you can see it, then you can declare your shvitah as soon as it gets there. Wait a minute. We have three parties here. We have the balabayit, we have the agent, and then we have the chenvani, the storekeeper. You're saying to me in the Mishnah that the storekeeper is the one that's moel. Why isn't the shliach moel? We have the balabayit who remembers, he becomes mezid, so he's not moel. What about the shliach? The shliach is a shogeg in this case. So in the Mishnah we said that the shliach did his agency. So he did his agency, he's patur. Why should that be? As long as he's a shogeg, he should be chayav, remini. Niskar balabayit v'lo niskar shliach, the balabayit remembers that it's a problem in Mila. V'lo niskar shliach, the shliach does not, a shliach ma'al. The shliach is moel. So Gemara says, Amrav sheshet matnitan kishinis krushneim. Our mission is a case where both the balabayit and the shliach remember that it was a coin of Hekdesh. So since they both remember it's a coin of Hekdesh, they're both mezidin now, and they are no longer in the parsha Mila. So the first person to be in the parsha Mila is the chenvani, the storekeeper. So once he utilizes it or uses it, then he'll be moel. But ain't achanami. If the shliach did not remember it, he would be the one who's moel. Balabayit be off the hook because he's a mezid. The shliach would be moel because he's the first party who, unbeknownst to him, he is actually acting with or transacting with Hekdesh. Tosafot says over here as well that if the shliach remembers and the balabayit does not remember, then the balabayit is moel because the shliach did the shlichuto shel a balabayit, and therefore that agency is effective in making the balabayit chayav for the me'ilah. Okay, next Mishnah. Natano pruta. He gives a shliach, his agent, a pruta. Amar lo, hevili b'chetzia neirot, b'chetzia ptilot. Says, with half a pruta, bring me candles. Candles over here are the either metal or pottery holders that they used to put the wicks and the oil into. And to the other half of the pruta, bring me wicks. Valach. And the shliach went, hevili lo b'kula ptilot, b'kula neirot. He either bought him with the whole pruta wicks, or with the old pruta, he brought him the candle holders. Oh, in a case, Shamar Ali, Hevili Bikula Neirot, he says, buy with the whole thing, candle holders. Oh, Bikula Ptilot, or with the whole thing, bring me wicks. Lach Hevi Bichetzia Neirot, and instead, the agent went ahead and bought, with half the pruta, he brought him these candle holders, and Bichetzia Tilot, and the other half, he brought him wicks. Shneem Lo Ma'alu. In this case, neither of them are Moel. Problem is here, that the agent accomplished his agency with half a pruta, and then he didn't accomplish, or he went against the agency with the other half of pruta. So the fact that the balabayit here got what he wanted for half of pruta. The shliach didn't listen to the balabayit for half of pruta. But half of pruta is not sufficient to create a chiyuv mi'ila. Therefore, they're both not mo'el here, because each one of them only has half a pruta of mi'ila. So in the first case, where the balabayit gave him the full pruta and said to buy half with this and half with that, and the agent that goes ahead and buys the whole item with the pruta, then he accomplished the 50% that the balabayit wanted for the half pruta. He did that. The other 50%, he didn't do that. So you have half a pruta in either direction. The same in the opposite case, where he tells him to buy with the entirety of the pruta an object, and then he goes in and he only buys only a half pruta of that object and brings a half pruta of the other object. In that case, they are both not moel. Aval. Imamar lo evili b'chetzia neirot. If he specifies the location, he says, I want you to bring me these candle holders from such and such a place, and I want you to bring me the wicks from that place. And the agent goes, and he goes and brings the candle holders from the place where the specified the wicks should come from, and he buys the wicks from the place that he was supposed to buy the candle holders. In this case, the shliach is mo'el because he forfeited his agency in both cases. He did nothing of what the balabayit wanted, because both cases he switched the location where he's supposed to get it. And therefore he's mo'el in a full pruta. Since he's mo'el in a full pruta, he is then the one responsible and he'll be mo'el. Natan lo shtei prutot. The balabayit gives him two prutot. V'amar lo leich hevili etrog, v'alach hevilo v'achat etrog v'achat rimon. Says to him, I want you to go take these two brutot and buy me an etrog. The shliach, the agent, goes ahead and buys with one of the brutot, he buys him an etrog. And the other one, he buys him a rimon, a pomegranate. Shnehem ma'alu, they're both mo'el. The balabayit is mo'el because with a pruta worth of the two brutot, he got what he wanted, he got an etrog. The shliach is ma'al because with the other pruta, he brought and bought a pomegranate. And that pomegranate was never instructed by the balabait, so that's a pruta worth of misappropriation that is done by the shliach. Therefore, he's also moel. Rav Yehuda omer, balabait lo maal. The balabait's off the hook here. Shomer lo etrog gadol eiti mevakesh. I wanted a big etrog. I wanted a 2 pruta worth etrog. Ve'edli katamiran. You brought me a 1 pruta worth etrog. So the shliach did not accomplish the shlichut, his agency, in either case. He's supposed to bring a big etrog. Instead, he brought a small etrog and a small pomegranate. In that case, you accomplished nothing what the Baal HaBayit wanted, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore only the shliach is moel. Natan lo dinar zahav, he gives him a gold dinar, v'amar lo aleich hevi li chaluk. Go and buy me a tunic with this dinar zahav. V'alech. And then he went ahead and he bought for him a vilo b'shlosha, with 3, he brought him a chaluk, he brought him this cloak or this tunic, b'shlosha talit. And with 3 of them, he brought him a cloak. Shneim malu. Same as the ratio of the Mishnah. They're both moel. Because over here, he accomplished with half the monies, he accomplished what the Baal HaBayit wanted, which was that he bought him a tunic. The other half of the money, he spent them without any instructions from the Baal HaBayit on the cloak. And therefore, they are both moel. Each one for the portion of which they were responsible. The Baal HaBayit is responsible for the part of the agency that was carried out properly. And the agent is responsible for the part that he did without permission of the Baal HaBayit. The Baal HaBayit's off the hook here, because Omer lo chaluk gadol hayiti mevakesh. I wanted a bigger tunic or a nicer one. Instead, you brought me a small one. You spent half the money that I had allocated towards the tunic, and therefore, that's not what I wanted. You abrogated your agency, and I'm not responsible, because you did what you wanted, not what I wanted. Now, in terms of the zahav, dinar zahav, and then it says shlosha and shlosha. Rashi over here says that the shlosha are dinarei kesef. 3 dinarei kesef. That is very difficult, because a dinar zahav is equal to 24 or 25 dinarei kesef. It says this word, 24 or 25 dinarei kesef, but Rashi says, well, he did 3 of them he used to pay 3 dinarei kesef for the chaluk, 3 dinarei kesef for the talit, and all he has is 6 dinarei kesef. That's a quarter of a dinar zahav, or maybe even less than a quarter of a dinar zahav. So that can't be the explanation here. It's very difficult that Rashi says it's dinar kesef. Tosafot, the shita mikubetzet, both say that the shlosha here means shlosha sla'im. Sla'im, a sela, is equivalent to shekel HaKodesh, which is equal to 4 dinar kesef. So if I take 3 sela, he purchased the chaluk, and with 3 sela, he purchased the talit, altogether you have 6 sela. 6 sela times 4 dinar, that gets you the 24 dinar kesef that are embedded in a dinar zahav. That's what it means. He took a dinar zahav and he spent 3 sela, meaning 12 dinar kesef on one item, and he spent another 3 sela, which is another 12 dinar kesef on the other item, that gets you the 24. How to reconcile between the 24 and 25? The Rabbeinu Tam says, quoted by the Shita Mikubetz and other places, that the extra dinar kesef was used to make change. You take a dinar zahav, if you break it down into 25 dinar kesef, the changer keeps one of them, and you get 24 back. And that's the 24 dinari kesef that we're speaking about over here. The other question, this is Tosafot ask everywhere, Shukubetza quotes it over here, is that how could it be that the conversion rate between gold and silver was 24 to 1, 25 to 1, when in his time, in the Middle Ages, it was 12 to 1, between 10 and 12 to 1. So it's almost half the exchange rate. So Tosafot is unwilling to accept that fact, that the exchange rate has moved so much, and therefore he says that the dinar zahav was twice as thick as a dinar kesef. At twice the thickness, so it's worth double the value. Because in their day, the money was worth the weight in gold, the weight of the coin. So if the coin is twice as thick, that means that a coin of the same size of dinar kesef would really be 12 to 1. If you double the thickness, then it is 24 to 1. So that's why Tosafot says that, or explains that difference. Obviously, Tosafot lived in a period of time where gold was stable, the exchange rate between gold and silver was stable between 12... around 12 to 1, 10 to 12 to 1, that the fluctuations have been much greater, and we've had times where the ratio is bigger or smaller, and therefore it's not unreasonable to assume that there was a 24 to 1 exchange rate in the time of Chazal. The Mishnah says, Shema Mina, what you conclude from our Mishnah is, Manda amar lushlucho zil zavin likura de'ara. Someone says, go buy me a kur worth of land. But zav zavin le litcha. Instead he buys him a letach worth of land, which is half a kur. Kani lokeach, it works. What's the conclusion from this? If you have an agent that you sent him out to do what you asked, he doesn't follow all the instructions that you gave him, and only does half. You said to buy a big tract of land of a kur, and said he buys half the amount of land that you wanted. So do we say that the agency failed because he didn't do what you asked him, or do we say, b'chlal matayim maneh, that within 200, there's 100. He did at least part of what you wanted, and therefore whatever he did is still considered to be agency. So Gemara says, from our Mishnah, you would conclude that partial agency is considered agency, because look at all the cases in our Mishnah. In the case of our Mishnah, by the case of Etrog and Rimon, in the case of the Chaluk and the Talit, the Baal Bayit gave him instructions to buy two pruta worth, or a dinar zahav worth of material, or of object, and instead he did half of what the Baal Bayit wanted. Yeah, and we say that the shliach is moel over there, and the Baal Bayit is moel. That means the Baal Bayit, the agency is still alive. The agency is still alive. That means that when he does half what the Baal Bayit wants, we think the agency is still intact. So Gemara says, Amrei hocha echi dami. What's the case over here? In our Mishnah, could go into Aitilei Shavavav Bishalosh. That he bought him something that was worth 6 selah with 3 selah. Meaning that he got a great bargain. He got the Baal Bayit what he wanted. He wanted a cloak that was worth, or he wanted a chaluk, he wanted a tunic that was worth 6 selah, and that's exactly what he got him. He only paid 3 selah for it, so that was a great deal. But he got him exactly what he wanted. So the man says, yeah, if you explain the mission that way, then Amos safe. What are you going to do with Rabbi Yehuda? Yehuda omer Baal Bayit lo mal, shu yachol omar chaluk gadol hayiti mevakesh. Because he can say, I was looking for a big cloak or tunic. Baby li chaluk katan vera. Instead, you brought me this small tunic that I didn't want. What do you mean? He bought him exactly what he wanted. He got what he wanted. So Damalei, Iyavi dinar kulei, Aitit li shavet bet dinarim. Had you spent the whole dinar zahav instead of just half the dinar zahav, I would have gotten a tunic that was twice as good. If you did it that well when you bought it with 3 selah, then you should have gone and bought it for 6 selah. If you got 6 selah, I would have gotten 12 selah worth of value. That would have been even better for me. You would have gotten me a much better discount. You would have doubled the value here by buying me exactly what I wanted with the full amount of money that I gave you. The fact that you didn't do it is not accomplishing what I wanted. So Akanami Mistabra, that makes sense. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Diktani, we have a Tosefta that says, Moder Rabbi Yehuda bekitnit sheshneim ma'alu. The Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the position of the Chachamim when it comes to legumes. Shekitnit bipruta vekitnit bidinar. There is no volume discount when you buy kitniot, when you buy legumes. Because whatever they sell them for a pruta, that's it. They sell them for a dinar, that's it. They don't reduce the price if you spend more. If you spend a dinar instead of a pruta, you don't get any more for that. There's no volume discount. So hey, chidami, what's this case? If the city or a place where they sell by estimation, it's like a rough estimate of what you're getting and then they sell it to you, then if you buy a seller's worth instead of a pruta's worth, they're definitely going to discount it for you. Either they're going to give you a better price, or they're going to top it off, and they're going to give you a little extra because you bought a higher volume. So volume does matter over here. Amarapapa, beduchta, benizavne, bikani. It's a place or a location where they sell. Bikani, kani is a type of measurement. Now the next word, kani, the sheet eliminates, and then kana, kana, bepruta. Each kana is sold for a pruta, the hatam sik miltayu. There's no volume discount. It's like going into this store, you go into a supermarket, and they have jars of an object on this shelf. Well, if you buy one jar, you pay this. You buy 100 jars, you still pay the same amount, because they're charging you per jar. They're probably charging you per basket, per unit of whatever this object is. And so it's over here, when they sell the kitnot, they're selling at a fixed unit price. And it doesn't matter how much you buy, there is no volume discount. But what you see from this is, that Rabbi Yehuda believes where there is no volume discount, the Baal Bayit has no claim against the agent. Because the agent did exactly what he wanted. He brought him back the size or the amount that he wanted. And if he had spent more, he would have gotten no more of a discount. And therefore, we don't demand of him to spend more. The Baal Bayit has no claim against him. In the case where there is a greater volume discount as you continue to spend more, then the Baal Bayit has a claim against them. You did so well for half the money I gave you. Had you spent all the money I gave you, you would have done even better. You would have doubled the value of the discount that you could have gotten. And so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, disagrees with the Chachamim, even though the agent brought back to the Baal Bayit exactly what he wanted in terms of the final object, he just didn't spend the amount of money that the Baal Bayit wanted. All right, next Mishnah. Hamafkid ma'ot etzel shulchani. Someone who gives money to a money changer in order to watch, im tzururim, if they are wrapped up. Wrapped up here means either with a siman or with an unusual knot. Lo yishtamesh bam. Then the shulchani, the money changer, has no right to use them. Kfikach im hotzi. Therefore, if he does use them, ma'al. He's the one who's moel. If their money's a vekdesh, he's moel because he took them against the instructions of the person who left them with him. Im mutarim, if he gives them loose coins, yishtamesh bam, and he can use them, because anybody who gives money to a money changer can assume that the money changer's business is changing money, and therefore he's going to use them as part of his working capital. Pikach motzi, Therefore, if they were monies of Mikdash, and he spent them, and he exchanged the money with them, lo ma'al. But he was not to Moel. Eitzel balabait, on the other hand, if you give over coins to a balabait to wash, bentach, benkach, lo yishtemesh bem. The balabait may not use them in any instance. Fikach motzi, again, if he uses them or utilizes them, then he is Moel if they are Hekdesh, because he has no right to use the monies. If you leave a balabait, there's no expectation that the balabait will utilize them. He's not a money changer. He's not active in this profession with changing money. And therefore, the person who leaves it with him, the mafkid who leaves it with him, doesn't assume that he will use it. That's why he didn't wrap it up. That's why he didn't knot it. Because he didn't think it was any issue. On the other hand, the last case is chenvani, a storekeeper. So by storekeeper sits somewhere between a balabait and a shulchani. Achim chani ki balabait divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir thinks that the chenvani has the same status as a balabait, and he may not touch the money that's left with him. Yehuda Meir ki shulchani. Rabbi Yehuda says he's like a money changer. Because sometimes people can ask him for change. When they have to feed money into the meters, they come and ask him to feed into change. So there are times where people ask him to change money, and therefore he has the same rules as a shulchani. Nafla pruta shel hekdesh betoch kiso. If a pruta worth of hekdesh falls into his wallet, oh, shamar pruta bekizeh hekdesh, or he designates one of the coins within his wallet, doesn't know which one, as hekdesh. Kevin shel tzeit rishona ma'al. As soon as he uses or utilizes the first one, he's mo'el divrei Rabbi Akiva, going to Rabbi Yochanan. Mi yomim ha'chi yitzeit kol hakis. You're not Moel until you finish off the whole wallet, because who knows which one is the one of Ekdesh. Could be the last coin that you spend is the one of Ekdesh. So until you empty the wallet, you're not Moel. So why does Rabbi Akiva think you're Moel even on the first one? Because Rabbi Akiva is the Shita Toh, that Rabbi Akiva believes that there is a din of Asham Talui. Rabbi Akiva believes you can bring an Asham Talui on Safek Mi'ilah. No, everybody else believes that you only bring a Asham Talui for Chataot that are Chayav Karet and have a Chatat Kavua. Rabbi Akiva believes, because of the smichut of Parshiot and Parshat Vayikra, that Asham Ilot is found right next to the Asham Talui. Therefore, an Asham Talui has application even by an Asham Ilot, even though it's an Asham and not a Chatat. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva believes that by Safek Asham, you will bring an Asham Talui. And that's what Rabbi Akiva means here. As soon as you take out the first coin, you're in Safek Mi'ilah, and you have to bring an Asham Talui. Umoda Rabbi Akiva, the Chamim, Rabbi Akiva agrees, the Chamim, Omer, Puta Minakiz Zeg Desh. If he says a pruta from this kis will be Ekdesh, shemotzi b'leich ad shiyotzi et kol kis. He goes along until he finishes off the entire wallet. So Mara says, ki at Rav Dimi amar, when Rav Dimi came, Rami le Rish Lakish l'rei Rav Yochanan. Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said, Rish Lakish, he asked Rav Yochanan this question, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference in the machlok between Rav Akiva and the Chachamim? In the first case, Rav Akiva disagrees with the Chachamim, the second case, he doesn't agree. Why? The statement that he made in the latter half of the Mishnah where Rabbi Akiva agrees to the Chachamim is that this kis will not be patur unless there's a coin of Ekdesh in it. So that type of expression means that lo yiftor kizeh, this kis will not be emptied without it having Hekdesh. So that means that until the last coin, it's not empty. And therefore, what he meant was that the last coin in the kis, in the wallet, will be Hekdesh. If it's the last coin, then Rabbi Akiva agrees to the Chachamim that there is a din of Hekdesh only on the last coin, and there's no safek mi'ilah before that point in time. Kiata Rabin Amar Kisina Shvarim Ramadai. That the Rabin who brought up, instead of Rav Dimi, here's the Rabin, another one of those that traveled between Babel and Eretz Yisrael. He says that the question was between our Mishnah about Kisina about wallets, and a case of Shor. So Ramadai, it's not. We have a Mishnah. Omer Achad Mishvarai Hekdesh. One of my oxen is Hekdesh. Hayulu Shnayim. He has two oxen. Agadol Shven Hekdesh. Whichever one is the bigger one is Hekdesh, because a person is Magdish Ba'ayin Yafeh. And therefore the bigger one is Hekdesh. The implications from that are, had they been the same size, if they were both equal, then whichever one comes first would be Hekdesh. And so to over here, why is it the first one that comes out of your wallet, the one that's Hekdesh? So that's the way Rashi asks the question. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that the Seifa of our Mishnah is a problem because it sounds like whichever is the best one you use. So too by the wallet. Whichever is the best coin, that should be the one that's Hekdesh. So that was the question for the Mishnah by Shvarim to the Mishnah, our Mishnah. But Tosafot says, because just like there, you take the best one, so to over here, you should take the best one. Then Rashi says the inference from that Mishnah. The inference of that Mishnah is that they were both equal, then whatever one comes out first is Hekdesh. So too by the wallet. Whichever one comes out first should be Hekdesh. The expression by the wallet was different by the Shvarim. Because he says, this wallet will not be emptied unless there's Hekdesh there. So that expression means that the last coin is the one that's Hekdesh. So since that expression means the last coin is Hekdesh, then we're not entering into the Mufchar, the better one, or if they're equal, the first one. It's not Shayach here, because he used a different Lashon to be Magdish. But Papa Amar Kisina Lugin Ramile, that he asked the question from a Mishnah by Log, which is, Ditnan, it's really Ditanya, we have a Braita, Lokech Yami Ben Akutim. Someone who purchases wine from the Kutim, this is before the yayin of the Kutim became like yayin of the Avodah Zarah. Omer, shnei lugim shani atid lafrish. He's in a position where he can't be mafrish. Either he's baderech, or he is ben hashmashot on Shabbat, where he can't be mafrish. So he says, in the future, the two lug that I take off in the future, they will be truma, truma gedola. Asara, 10 that are in here are maaser rishon. Tisha, the remaining 9, you have to take off are maaser sheni, umeichal. And then you redeem them onto money, onto an object. Bishote miyad. You can drink right away. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrim. They say that you may not do it. So here we have a havamino. Our mission is talking about a case of breiro. The issue in our Mishnah is that we say that huvrar ha-davar. That we can determine that you can determine in the end that the last coin was Hekdesh, and therefore everything before it was not Hekdesh. Yet you see over here in this Mishnah that that's not necessarily the case. So Rashi claims that the question over here is from Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon who say that there is no Breira. Since there's no Breira, you may not drink this cup and allow for the last two lug to be the Truma Gedolah. So you have to take off the Truma Tomasrot up front, and you can't take them off the end because there is no Din in Breira. There's no Din in Breira, then how does Rabbi Akiva have a position over here that the last coin is the one that is kadosh? Because that's a case of breiro, that the last one is the one you choose, that goes against Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. So that's the way Rashi coin phrases the question. On the other hand, Tosafot says that the question is from Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir over here says, there is such a concept in breiro, and therefore, it's a question on Rabbi Akiva's position. Why does he have to say, according to Rabbi Meir, it says, Shani atid lafrish, that I will separate it out in the future. In our mission, he doesn't say that I'm going to take it out in the future, and yet, we say that there's breira, and he can take out the last coin. Over here, he didn't make any expression of taking it in the future, so why by the lugin does he have to say, I'm going to separate it out in the future? Just say, I'm going to separate it out too. When you decide to do it, that's breira. So the answer is that the expression by our mission is different. I'm like, say for the manitim, omer lo yipater ki zet min ha'ekdesh. The Sefer of the Mishnah is a case where he says, this wallet would not be emptied until the last coin is Hekdesh. So therefore he specified the last coin. It's not a din in Breira. It's not a din in Breira, then you can't have a question. You can't ask from Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Akiva, because they say there's no Breira over there. Over here there's Breira, because the way he articulated it made it that the last coin is Kodesh. And according to Tosafot, the question is Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, if we say by Rabbi Akiva that there's Breira, even though you didn't say that I will take it off in the future, then why do you have to say I'll take it off in the future? They're different. The case by the wallet, he specified it's going to be the last one. This wallet will not be emptied until there's a coin of Hekdesh. This really means the last one. So we're not dealing with Breira. In case of Breira, you would have to say, Shani atid lafrish, that I will in the future will take it off. Now just to know that this sugya, this case of Lokeach Yayin Ben Hakutim is mentioned multiple times in Shas. You can see that on the Masorah Tashas here. It's mentioned all over the place. The Gemara in all those places tries to bring it down as a proof that there is Breira or no Breira. It's Machloket Tanaim. In the end, the Gemara says that it has nothing to do with Breira, but rather the Machloket here is about Shema Yibaka Nod. We're afraid that maybe the flask will burst. Are we afraid that the flask will burst in the end? Rav Meir says it's not choshesh for that, therefore you can drink along all the way and take off the Trumot de Masrot at the end because you'll be there and we won't have to worry. The Chachamim are worried that maybe the flask will burst and the wine won't be there and be mafrei, you ate tevel, because you'll never be able to mafrish the Trumot de Masrot that you were supposed to be mafrish. Okay, with that we complete Masechet Me'ilah.